What's going on, guys? Welcome back. We're here on another Sunday night talking about our favorite show, The Walking Dead. And my goodness, are things getting exciting. It's the middle of the season, guys. There's only two episodes left in 2017, and we have major, major plot developments going on. Episode 6, Season 8, The King, The Widow, and Rick. We will see you guys in just 1 second. Break the whole thing down.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Oh man, we're in it, guys.
We're in it. Hey,
we got the lights.
We're official now. We're official.
Get to the side of the road. Hide. Yeah, there's people coming. All right, what's up, guys? Welcome back. We got the whole panel back.
I'm glad to be back.
Yeah. I mean, kind of the whole panel. It's like we have a three-person panel now.
We do, yeah.
And that's okay. I'm really comfortable with that.
Me too.
But I feel that we're a forged community now. You know, we've survived the apocalypse, and now we've settled with the three of us.
Yes.
True.
We're surviving, we're foraging, we're living in this room.
I'm really just honored.
And we got flashing red lights.
And we got flashing red lights.
It's all about that.
Yeah. When people want to join the panel, we're like, how many walkers have you killed?
Yeah.
That should be the question.
How many people have you killed? I've killed a lot of people.
238, actually. That's right.
What's up, guys? Welcome back. We're here on AfterBuzz TV talking The Walking Dead. It's Season 8, Episode 6, The King, The Widow, and Rick. And like I said, two episodes left in 2017. We're getting there. The all-out war is almost halfway done. And yeah, like it's crazy. At one point in this episode, they mentioned this has been a day and a half. You notice that? I couldn't believe that it's been 6 episodes and it's been a day and a half of time. It's like I wonder if the entirety of the season is going to take place in the course of like 2 or 3 days.
Yeah.
Well, that was one of the main advantage points, or the points that we loved about this show, is that the way that they play with time. Like they could either go months with passing by, or in this case, just a day and a half.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I really like.
And it was also all about negotiations, I feel like. You saw different groups just negotiating different things. You know, we had Rick to Jadis, Gregory to Maggie. You know, it's like a lot of different things going on.
Yeah.
Even Carl to Sadiq.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right, so. Sadiq, yeah, Sadiq. New character, who for a minute I thought was going to be dead again. Anyways, let's introduce my angelic panel back in the room.
There's no such thing. Yeah. What's up, everybody? I am back. I am Timothy Michael. You can find me everywhere at I am Timothy Mike.
What's up, everybody? I'm Dario Christian. You can find me at Dario Christian on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, everywhere. Just spell my name out.
Yeah.
Right there.
That's cool. What's up, guys? I'm Ben Bateman. You guys can find me at Ben Bateman Media, Twitter, and Instagram. Let's talk Walking Dead. So we got three plot lines going on in this episode. As the episode is titled The King, The Widow, and Rick, we didn't get a whole lot of the king. He's not in the episode that much.
No.
So Ezekiel is one part of this. Rick and his conversation with Jadis. The Salvagers, I think they're called, right? Is that the Scrappers? The Salvagers, I think is what they're called.
I just call them the Garbage People.
The garbage people. I think they're called the Salvagers.
I'm pretty sure you're right. I just call them the Garbage People because I like that name better.
He tries to strike a new deal. And then also we have a lot of stuff with Maggie and Hilltop and kind of what they're doing with their prisoners. And that's kind of the general episode. And Rosita's back.
In
the
full
actress
force.
Was pregnant, right? That was the deal. And that was why she was out of the show for a while.
Yes.
So she must have had the child. And then came back. Come back.
Yes.
Yeah.
She looks great. I'm really glad she's back. She's one of my favorite characters.
Is she really?
Yeah.
We've never talked about her.
Yeah, I really like her. I've enjoyed her from the beginning. I like the fact that she does whatever she needs to do to survive. I like that she's so beautiful and she uses that to her advantage. Because I feel like other women would be like, no, I'm too good for that. But Rosita's like, you know what? I'm going to do whatever I need to do. And if that includes sleeping with everybody that I need to sleep with. And we got a little bit more of her backstory about where she's come from and having to deal with, you know, egotistical men, her entire, you know, survival history to where she is now. I just think that she's one of those really greatly in characters.
She's acclimated to the situation.
Yeah.
She's used her beauty and smarts in conjunction. I don't like her as a character, but I appreciate that you do.
I do.
nice stuff there, Ben. Thanks for letting me know that, by the way.
I'm looking forward to disagreeing with you on this.
we've talked about her on here quite a bit. I think Daryl, are you playing coy right now? You don't like Rosita either.
I like Rosita.
Really?
She hasn't always some of the storylines that they've given her haven't always been my favorite. But
yeah.
I mean, I like Rosita. She's not one of my favorite characters on the show, though.
She's just always like, this breakfast sucks. And then she's just like,
and pouty face.
I'm not going to enjoy this breakfast. And then it's like six episodes later, she's like still not enjoying her food.
But
like,
then certain moments when they team up, for example, tonight with Michonne, and you know, she's this kind of like this, you know, badass team. I like it when it's more of that form of her, you know.
Yeah.
She's had moments, but
overall, I'll give you, she's had moments. Yeah, she's grown on me. So she's only a small part of the episode, though. So I suggest we start with one of our three in this trifecta. Let's start with Rick and encountering our newest, let's call her perhaps part of the Victoria's Secret fashion show.
Yes. Exactly. Yes.
In her like orange apron.
Yes.
In the junkyard. That was a good piece of fashion.
It looked like a leather apron.
Yeah. Too.
And I don't think she's wearing anything else under it.
No.
There was booty everywhere, I would say.
And side boob.
And side boob.
Very classy side boob.
There's a lot of the garbage people that feels like an old like Mike Myers Sprocket sketch from like SNL.
Yeah.
When they're like the Germans with the bowl cuts in black and white doing like the new wave German dancing. It's like super, super like modern.
I know exactly what you're talking about. And I give Ezekiel a lot of crap for being like not believable.
Yeah.
And I never really thought of the salvagers or the garbage people, if you will, to be that unrealistic, to have that unrealistic factor.
Yeah.
I just believe them for some reason.
Really?
I don't know why. I know that it's like 2016 or whenever the year of this show takes place. And the fact that they can't speak or they can't use vocabulary. I don't know why I believe it. I just do. I just do.
Yeah, you know, it's funny just the words, you know, that they use. Obviously, you know, just the one phrases. But it reminds me also sometimes of Stranger Things, if you've ever watched that.
Yeah.
11. They kind of talk the way she talks.
Yeah.
You know?
It goes back and forth from bothering me with the garbage people. Mm. At some episodes, I feel like I'm like, all right, I'm in on this. I think it's sweet that you guys like went full into this is a comic book. So like these people would have created their own language.
Yeah.
Other episodes, I'm just like, you're not Yoda. Talk like a person.
Yeah. Right, right.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's... I don't know exactly what you mean when you say that because you're not articulating. Because you could use six more words to tell me exactly what you mean.
Yes.
But I thought that was kind of funny. And the whole premise of, like, Tank, don't bother. But so Rick shows back up and he's like, you know, we did see what he got the pictures for.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first time we had actually seen him say. And it starts with all the letters being written, so... I guess that's why all the pictures are happening.
Hmm.
I did like the idea that the pictures were going to be some sort of, you know, twisted history book.
Yeah.
Which maybe they still will be.
That's a good... Yeah, I liked when you said that too, but clearly that's not the case.
No, it's not. It's like proof, like we smashed.
Yeah.
And he's like trying to convince like Jadis and the garbage people that, you know, you should be on my side now, you should switch sides. What I don't understand is, I guess they have resources so Rick feels that he needs to try to convince them, but it's like, why would you trust her? She tried to kill you. She shot you in the face.
And she let that be known today.
Right.
She's like, shot you.
Yeah.
Right. He's like, you know, in the back and forth of that even, he's like, graze me. Shot you. Graze me. You know?
Yeah. He's just trying to make it not so obvious that he might turn on her in the end to try to, like, downplay it. Like, you know, it was just a graze. And she's like, no, I shot you. I think just shouting back to last episode when Negan said that people are a resource. And I feel like that's what Rick is ultimately after, is the people... And their skills. I mean, if they are so ruthless as to, you know, turn on whoever they need to turn on at the drop of a hat or whoever has a better deal, then that's somebody that I would want on my team when battling against somebody who is as ruthless. You know what I mean?
Sure. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Who will do anything that they need to survive. I guess I just sort of feel like Rick, at the point that he was at in the battle, like sauntering into the junkyard and just being like, be on my side. And then, like, a part of me just feels like he's like, yeah... We're just going to kill you, actually.
Yeah.
Because why wouldn't we?
Well, it's interesting, too, his approach of how it was almost like he was threatening her as well, because he says, you know, what they do next depends on what you do now. You know, yes, he's negotiating, but he's also, to me, pulling, you know, showing his hands. You know,
right.
He's like, listen, we can go back and forth about this, but if you aren't on the right side of this, you're going to go down, you know?
And maybe there's a part of him that's just like, they understand clearly that with, like, the take, don't bother philosophy that... Mm-hmm. I'm a bargaining chip, and I lead my people. So even if they don't want to take my deal, they're not going to kill me. They'll imprison me because they know that I'm worth something.
Right.
So maybe that's why he's like less worried about going.
Well,
there.
Let's not also forget that Jadis has like this weird love and like this weird like attraction to Rick.
She just wants to dominate him.
She wants. I think she wants to dominate him. I think she wants to be dominated by him.
Oh,
I think that there's not that many men around for her right now that.
Yeah.
are on equal footing in the dominant field as she is. And I feel like Rick knows that.
Yeah.
And I think that he is upplaying that. Because she could have easily killed him. And I think we'll talk about it in predictions, but she could have easily just killed him and she didn't.
Yeah. Well, Vader Girl says Rick has a Jadis fetish. So.
Mm. Oh, you think that's why he went back? Vader Girl.
That's what Vader Girl thinks.
Rick does like strong women.
He does like strong women.
He does.
He went in and she...
She may give Michonne some competition.
Was she still wearing the sheer apron when Rick showed up? Or was that before Rick showed up?
It wasn't a sheer apron.
In Ben's fantasy.
We wished it was a sheer apron because if it had been, it would have been amazing. The only thing I didn't like was the fact that she put on clothes to go see him. Because if she had walked up with the apron on and it was just all like side, like nudity, I would have just been in love with it. I would have been like, this is amazing.
Daryl and I both wrote sheer aprons.
We did at the same time.
It was an orange apron, gentlemen.
It was an orange apron.
It may not be a sheer apron, but it felt like a sheer
apron. It felt very sheer.
Okay. You guys just like the side boob.
Let's move on. So, by the way, the actress that plays Jadis, I don't have her name written down in front of me. I looked her up the other day. Gorgeous.
Oh, absolutely. She's beautiful. Yeah.
They go out of their way to make her look like very strange because she lives in a junkyard.
Yeah.
And they give her like sweet bangs.
Yeah, they did. Yeah. And she doesn't look that dirty to live in a junkyard.
No, the pictures on IMDb are like she like does not resemble the same person at all.
No, of course not. I mean, look at Danai. I can never say her last name. She's beautiful as well.
She is.
So, yeah. I mean, they just like, you know, ugly them up for The Walking Dead.
We'll say interesting them up.
Yeah.
All right, so at the same time that we have Rick talking to Jadis and her sheer apron, we also have two other things going on. So I figure we'll cover Carol and what's going on in the kingdom first,
because
it's smaller, and then we can kind of spend the majority of the episode on what else is going on. So Ezekiel's broken, and we got some really important moments to end the episode with Ezekiel and Carol talking about leading the people, and he's sort of like, you know, why would you want me out there? I can't do it. He keeps saying can't.
Yeah.
And she has to say to him, you know, it has to be you. You have to lead your people. I believe. And then she says, why did you come visit me out in that house? And he's like, because I felt like you made me feel real. I actually really liked that moment.
Me too. Yeah.
It was one of my favorite moments. Yeah. It's nice to see Ezekiel's, like, sort of the reality of him breaking through a little bit.
Right. That's what I was going to say. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
It just... I never felt like she thought he was real, but he thought that enough that it made him feel special or cool or attractive or powerful in some way to go see her.
Yeah.
And it really, it reminds you that they are in this crazy situation, this crazy life or death situation, but you just have to kind of fight for every inch. You have to fight to feel the way you feel. And he's, in that moment, that's what he's clinging on to. And I thought that was a great exchange from those two.
Yeah, and you also see, you know, kind of what you're saying, but from the beginning, it's like she saw him as a joke almost, you know, and unbelievable. Now you feel that she respects him. She's seen who he is as a person, even when she says, you know, you have to act every day. You know, she's saying, basically, she's like, fake it till you make it. I don't care how you're feeling. You got to fool these people to think, you know, that you're this leader that's going to take care of them, because once they see that you know your morale is down, it's going to destroy the entire group. So you got to keep up that fake, you know, that fakeness. She even was honest. She's like, I have to do it all the time myself. And I respected that about her, you know.
Yeah
I love this moment from the beginning of the opening shot when they showed him with the Shiva's chains in his hand. And it was just so, the imagery was just so powerful, because it's, she was tied up, and now I feel like because of what happened, he's trying to tie himself up.
Right.
And I just felt like Carol now has to break those chains, because he's going to just, you know, revert into himself and not want to help anybody else. And you can't really blame him. I mean, he's gone through a significant loss, and it's not something that you can just come back from so easily. Not like Carol, who loses a daughter and just is all back in the next day.
Right.
So I feel like, and we kind of called this coming. We kind of said that Carol was going to be one of those people, the only person that could really pull him out. Not Jerry, not somebody else from the kingdom. No, it is going to be her. And I feel like they're only going to get closer the more that she tries to get him out.
Yeah, I actually thought that this was going to be a moment where we saw them have some type of little bit more, you know, like even a chemistry with each other.
You know,
like reveal that they like each other, you know, in that way, a relationship
romantic way.
Yeah,
definitely. It was a very powerful moment. And there was a couple different things. You made reference to it already, Dee, but when she says, I act every day, you know, I have to pretend that I am this way. I think that's really interesting with her character because of what we've seen from her and the change we've seen from her and how much she's such a pronounced character in this show. She's so different than she was when the show started. Yeah. When she says that in this moment, it makes you feel like, I wonder how much of how she acts. Because she said, I have to act normal.
Yeah.
Right? But it's like, I wonder, is the crazy, psychotic, kill everyone to survive mode, is that acting? Is that putting on a face that she doesn't want to be? Who is Carol really?
I honestly think, because you know how they say people who are depressed don't want anybody else to feel depressed because they know how shitty it feels?
Right.
I feel like if Carol just let everything go, that's who she is. I felt like the Carol in the cabin, when she was just in the cabin and just like totally like broken down, I feel like that's who Carol is or would be on a regular basis if she didn't fight and continue to act and continue to try to be a better person.
Yeah.
I just feel like she's been through so much and just all the loss that she's experienced. And granted, every character on the show has experienced loss in some kind of way, but I feel like it just affects Carol in a different way. And I feel like that's who she would really be if she just let it out.
Yeah. But I think that, you know, she has to be this way because she obviously, when we first saw her enter the first season, she was abused by her husband. Then we've seen her lose her daughter. And then the ups and downs of just battle and how we've seen how she's become a great leader. But I think, you know, she still has this quality that she is very sensitive in a lot of ways. Because I was even saying today how kids gravitate towards her very easily. You know, in several seasons, even tonight, we saw Henry, you know, wanting to go with her and go with her to battle. And we've seen in other seasons that kids just really attach to her. So they're even though she's harsh, 100% real with them, and they still want to be with her, you know, and that says something about her character.
But I think that's why they gravitate toward her, because kids are smarter than we give them credit for. I feel like when you're a kid and you're in this kind of environment, you just want somebody to be straight up with you, and Carol is that person for these kids, and I feel like that's why they gravitate towards her. There's no like sugarcoating or anything like that. So
It depends how old the kid is. I think there's a point where you want an adult to be an adult, and I think there's a point where you want an adult to coddle you. And she works really well with the second half, or with the first half. But it's funny you mention it, because she is kind of the only character on the entire show that they write that would just be like, kid, you're stupid. Get away from me.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're stupid. You don't know what it's like. Yeah. Get away from me.
Yeah.
Like, I want nothing to do with you. Like, they don't really write any other characters that way, but Carol's just like, I need to survive.
Yeah.
I don't care if you're six. Get away from me. You're going to compromise my position. But then she's always like, okay, take this gun, six-year-old.
Right.
Yeah.
She's, you know what I mean? Like, that's kind of Carol's MO. And like, I think that's kind of great and also kind of hilarious that's like her character is she is the most straight up. She's like an odd duck. She's a very strange character.
Yeah.
But I mean, we would all be strange if we went through what she went through.
That's true.
You know what I mean? There would be a little bit of it, you know. Backdraft Production says Carol isn't as interesting as people make her. She's just made a habit of overcompensating for her pain. You think that?
I think she's just as interesting, but she has made a habit.
Yeah.
I half agree with that.
Mutually exclusive. Yeah. So that's what else is going on with Carol? Did we miss anything else? She gets approached in the woods by Henry, who wants to follow her. She doesn't want. She's like, I'll deal with this myself. Gives the gun to Henry. It's like, come with me. And so now she's got another sidekick who's going to help her through this whole thing. No Morgan. But news on Morgan, because we're the Walking Dead Weekly. Yeah. We cover all the Walking Dead.
Right.
Big announcement. Fear the Walking Dead, the Walking Dead crossover. Morgan is the announced character as of tonight.
Yes.
He will be appearing on Fear the Walking Dead.
Yeah.
That's big.
I don't know what the continuity is going to be. I didn't watch season 3 of Fear.
Yeah.
So I don't know kind of how the two shows intersect in terms of timeline.
Yeah.
But I do wonder, does that mean Morgan's going to leave The Walking Dead, I wonder?
I was reading some articles about it, and they said, no, he is not going to leave The Walking Dead. They actually start shooting Fear the Walking Dead in Texas tomorrow, so he's going to actually be out there in Texas shooting. So he's not leaving The Walking Dead. I'm on the same page as you. I don't, even after watching season 3 of Fear the Walking Dead, I don't know where they're going to fit him.
Yeah.
If anything, it would have to be a flashback.
Yeah.
Because if we look at it from season 1, episode 1 of The Walking Dead, he was with his wife and son,
right,
and they helped Rick.
Yeah.
So,
well, the wife's dead, I think.
Yeah, yeah, but I mean, she was, dead in the episode, dead. But he had what I'm trying to establish is he had a whole family before this whole thing started, so trying to figure out where they're going to place him in Fear of the Walking Dead.
Right.
And I'm just going to be honest, I'm a little disappointed that it's Morgan's character, Lenny James. I feel like they could have picked
somebody more interesting.
Who
would you have picked, ideally?
Maybe Rosita, Abraham, or Eugene as a group, because they have traveled so far. And we have, like I said, had heard of stories of Rosita having to deal with other people and all this stuff. Morgan was in his house when this all went down. So where... You had a family. You had a wife. Well, you had a son. Like, where are you going to...
Because remember that Morgan, he, like, meets Rick, and then he disappears for a long time. Then he shows up in the Here Is Not Here episode when he has to... Rick finds him.
Of course.
And then he disappears again, and he shows back up in Alexandria.
So I don't think that he's going to be able to go from coast to coast in that amount of time. Yeah, like, it took them, like, what, 6 seasons just to get from Georgia to Virginia. Yeah. So I doubt that Morgan's going to be able to go from Georgia to California or Mexico, wherever they are right now, and then back from California / Mexico all the way.
So you're thinking it's going to be a small flashback episode with one of the Fear characters.
It has to be, otherwise it's not going to be believable for me.
A shame. And you liked Fear season 3.
I do like Fear. I like Fear.
I thought this last season was pretty good.
Yeah, I agree.
Are you all caught up?
Yeah.
What? I'm the only one who's not caught up?
Dude, get on it.
Get on it.
You were the guy that didn't want to do the show with me.
I know, but then I ended up watching it and I kind of fell in love with it. Yeah.
Because I thought one... Sorry, guys, to segue for a second, but this is The Walking Dead Weekly. I liked season 1. I was annoyed with parts of season 2. And then I didn't want to watch season 3 because so much of season 2 let me down. But I've heard season 3 gets a lot better.
It did.
A ton better.
It did. And I'm excited for season 4. I'm excited to see what they're going to do with this crossover.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. All right. So that's Morgan. We saw nothing of Morgan. We saw...
Except in the preview.
Yeah. We saw no Gabriel. We saw no Negan. Mm-hmm. So let's talk a bit more now about Maggie. All right, so Maggie and Jesus, this whole like identity crisis of ethics, morality, it continues of what are we gonna do with these prisoners? Gregory, I won't say it because I even though I abbreviated it last week, I stopped.
Just say it. Just say it.
Okay, fine.
I got
it.
No, I'm not gonna say it. I'm not saying it, but I want you to know I want to say it. My guy, who's sneaky?
Yes.
He has been now like sent to the gulag with this built prison that we have all of our saviors stuck into.
Well, before we even jump to that, did you guys think that they were building a prison, or did you think that they were going to build the gallows?
I figured that the prison.
Yeah, I figured it was probably going to be more of a prison. Yeah.
Oh, I thought that it was going to actually be the gallows for a second.
It's like there's not a lot of shows I can think of where they would do something just like hang 50, 60 people. I can't think of that many shows that they would just like take your characters who you are supposed to believe are morally dependable,
right?
And they would just kill people.
Well, I didn't think they were actually going to do it. I thought they were going to use it maybe as a scare tactic.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
I can see that.
Yeah, so they build this prison and they put everybody in there, including Gregory, who has a second scene in this episode where Maggie's just like, get inside, Gregory.
Yeah, and hits him. Like, hits him with the gun. Yeah.
And I was like, is this going to be a running theme where every episode he's going to be like tagging along and she's like, get in your room!
Yeah. pretty much.
But she like sends him into the prison. Now, Daryl, you suggested before the episode that you thought possibly it was a tactic to try to get the saviors on their side.
Yeah, you know, that's why I was trying to figure out if it was something that I missed, because there's a conversation that takes place with Jesus and Maggie, obviously, and she referenced the fact that, or one of them referenced the fact that he was in there, you know, having the conversations with the saviors. And I was thinking, like, was this a plan that he and Maggie had spoken about that we maybe didn't see, you know, on camera? Or was it, you know, was it just that was just a statement that was made, but he really is, they still are looking at him like a complete rat, you know? But it would have been an interesting twist to see him kind of work with Maggie on this and kind of penetrate the inside. Because even the way they showed him at the end when he was sitting down and the saviors were having the conversation, it was Alden having the conversation with Dwight. The way he was looking at them was kind of like he was really trying to listen to the information, almost in the stance of, let me take this in so I can go back and tell someone.
Yeah.
You know, that's the way his eye line looked to me, you know, when he was telling it.
I definitely like your thought process on that. I feel like we've been calling him a certain phrase for this entire season, Ben, that I feel like if he did turn and do something like that, I feel like it would give his character more dimension and more depth.
Yeah.
And I feel like I wouldn't start to like him, but I would kind of understand where the writers are going. We're tired of him being, you know, the phrase that Ben likes to say.
This one note.
Yes,
this
one note kind of character. And I feel like if that would be the turn they would take, I wouldn't be mad at it.
Yeah.
Is the other guy that Alden was talking to, his name is Dwight? Because I might have missed that.
I think he was talking to Dwight. Maybe it wasn't Dwight at that point.
The guy that's like the one that's guy? Yeah, the one that's always giving them
the
issues.
Super D-bag guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know his name yet.
I want to make something extremely clear, and that's that I have been calling Gregory that phrase, Xander Berkeley the actor, since long before he was on this
show. Of course.
Because he is the ultimate of that phrase.
Yes.
But
you just got to that phrase.
Not Dwight. It wasn't Dwight, sorry, I was thinking about it. But yeah.
However, can we just all rejoice for a second that I called it on the handsome guy who opens the door?
You did.
There's been a whole chat conversation about this that you called it. You did.
You don't put someone on a show with a kisser like that if they're not going to be relevant. Like he would have been. They wouldn't have been on his face or let him have like more than one line if you knew he wasn't going to show back up. And I knew Arden was his name.
Alden.
Yeah.
You said it's very millennial name.
You know, there's those millennial names, right? There's like that
like
whole
blanket
list.
And apple.
Well, those are like very abstract, but like Brayden and like
Arden. What you're saying.
And,
yes.
Yeah. So I feel like, I mean, no shade to any of the people named that.
No,
like,
of course, no.
That's
we
a great
love
name. It's a great name.
It's a great name. Do we trust him?
Not yet. I don't.
No.
Okay.
I don't really trust him.
I don't trust him.
I mean, I don't think we should trust him, but do we give him room to be trusted? Maybe that's a better question.
I mean, Maggie's single. So, like...
Maggie's single and pregnant.
Single and pregnant, but, like, any guy who's, like, got, you know, some redeemable qualities and is, like, TV handsome, I feel like could be on her level.
Okay.
Because she's gorgeous. Can we just talk about, like, Lauren Cohen for a second? So, I have a real issue with Instagram. I want you guys to understand that, like, the explore feature on Instagram, I think, is, like, such... It's so poorly organized. Because if you ever notice that if you click on one thing on the explore feature one time, for all of eternity, have like, and if you have any interest in that thing, you'll inevitably click on a second one and they become more and more prominent.
Yeah,
that's true. Yeah,
I one time clicked on a Lauren Cohen picture because I thought she was gorgeous, and now my feed on Instagram is
all
filled with Lauren Cohen.
It's the algorithm, yeah.
There's an Instagram page called Cohen Beauty, and I'm like, I'm not obsessed with Lauren Cohen. I like, don't like,
do you have something to tell me about this?
That's amazing. I'm just
like, I don't need to be looking at this all the time. Anyway, sorry.
I mean, she is gorgeous. She's beautiful. I think the one thing that bothered me about this episode with Maggie's character was that she had said when they were putting the prisoners into the saviors into the prison that they're not going to tolerate anything but full communication or full cooperation. But then she doesn't shoot the guy in the head, the long-haired guy.
Yeah.
Guys, if you please in the chat, if you know his name, let me know.
They keep calling him long-haired guy as well.
Yeah. Okay. So I guess they don't know either, but I feel like they need to just nip this in the bud and kill him.
Should have, yeah.
And I don't see that Maggie called it out and saying, you know, we're not going to tolerate anything but full cooperation. But then when this guy gives you lip back, you don't want to take care of it.
Do you think that throwing Gregory into the prison is a little bit like in that episode of Friends where Monica hires Joey at the restaurant to fire him to prove a point? Do you think it's like
that's really deep, man. That was a hell of a reference. I like where you're going with it.
Yeah.
I guess it kind of could be something similar. I never thought of it that way,
no Friends fans?
No, I love Friends. I just would never equate The Walking Dead with Friends. So
she hires Joey at the restaurant so she can fire him to prove a point.
Right.
So maybe do you think like Gregory? No, because then she'd have to kill Gregory. That wouldn't work.
Right.
Well, which would be, I would love if they use Gregory at his own game and then they kill him. You know?
Right.
Because at first I thought they were going to kill Gregory. I said that tonight.
You did,
I said it would be great if they kill Gregory.
Maggie triple crosses Gregory. She's like, go make friends with the people and get on my side.
Yeah. Give me the information.
You don't know it, but I'm going to kill you in front of all of them after you've become their friend because I don't want you around.
Yeah. And I want them to know that you gave me the information as I killed them. Yes. Drop the mic.
Drop the mic.
I like that.
Yeah. All right. So
they said the long hair guy's Jared.
Jared. Thank you.
Excuse me. I accidentally called him Dwight earlier because I wrote down something different, but it's Jared.
I have an issue with characters on this show that I feel like survive significantly longer than they should. Like, I'm like in this world, I don't feel like there's patience or sympathy because lives are on the line and people have seen what happens. If you're sympathetic to somebody with bad intentions, it usually results in people dying.
Yeah.
The ratty guy who looks kind of like this guy that Morgan had sympathy was result of people dying.
The wolf guy,
and they didn't kill him. So, like, I definitely feel like it's just, I don't believe it anymore. When I have smart characters like Maggie, where I'm just like, this guy's a problem, you just shoot the guy.
That's why I was surprised.
Yeah.
Because she said it, and then I was like, okay, so it's going to happen, and then it didn't happen. Because it was only a matter of time before he was like, he said something stupid or did something stupid. And clearly we see his motives when he's trying to take over you know, the hilltop.
I still think it's coming, but that'll be in my prediction.
So there were some interesting conversations about what they're fighting for that mm-hmm. happened at the beginning of the episode. And one of Jesus's lines when, because Maggie in the beginning of the episode talking about killing everyone, and then mm-hmm. the end, she basically makes a comment, which is like, we're going to try to use them to our advantage, and if we can't use them, we're going to kill them all, right? That's what she says.
Yes. Yeah.
And Jesus has a problem, because early in the episode, he makes the comment, we have to make sure what's left is worth what we lost,
mm-hmm.
which I thought was a really, really special comment from Jesus. I think that's, we have to make sure what's left is worth what we lost, is like kind of indicative of everything they're doing.
Yeah.
Because they know they're going to lose people. They know they're going to lose people that are important to them. And if they kill 100 people in cold blood, they just murder 100 people, like, what's left? Like, what does that do to the psyche of the people that are left? Like,
yeah.
What?
Okay, well, let me ask you this, though. Do you think that sometimes his character is a little bit too righteous? Like, he's it's like some of his...
His name is Jesus?
So. I mean, yeah.
I think him obviously. Handing out the food was a little poetic in that moment.
You know
moment.
What I mean? Yeah.
I do feel like it is a little over righteous, because I keep going back and looking at his character from when we first met him, and he was never like this. He was never right. like, let's save everybody.
Right.
So it's like it's a very 180 degree turn for him. But nah, I'm with you. I feel like it's a little weird.
Yeah, it's a little too much for me. I don't think. Like, again, it's just like, it's what we talked about with him when he wanted to not kill that guy.
Yeah.
That guy turned out to be evil. It's mm-hmm. like, you want your protagonists and your antagonists for that matter to be smarter. And I feel like the antagonists are always smarter in
yes.
those situations. The yeah. protagonists are always idealistic
yep.
and they always get themselves in trouble. And it's like, I almost wish that they were more aggressive and then their aggression got them in trouble
mm-hmm.
and that would teach them. It would like teach them a lesson.
Yeah.
But I just feel like there's so many situations where they're just like, oh yeah, we'll like trust this guy. We'll try to make the best of it because we're good people. But it's like, that's not how the world works anymore.
Yeah.
You can't just
right.
be good people. They'll right. just slit your throat while you're sleeping if they get the chance.
Exactly.
They're just going to kill you.
Well, it's interesting too, because it's almost like they pick a character each with each kind of season to be the righteous person. I mean, we've seen it be Morgan before. We've seen it be Ezekiel, and now they're broken. So it's like, it's a matter of time. It's like all those characters that are these righteous people at some point, they get broken. So it's like, is Jesus the next one to be broken down
yeah.
the line?
You right. know? All right, we only have a few more minutes, so let's cover the last two bits of the episode before we move on. Mm-hmm. The first one, we just had a quick moment with Aaron talking
yeah.
about missing Eric. Talking to Maggie, Maggie's the Judith, and he says, does it get easier? And she says, no, but she did have a great comment, right? She says, no, but it helps if you do something about it.
Yeah.
I like that moment.
Yeah.
I thought that was a nice comment. That he, as a character, he feels a bit shoehorned at this point, unfortunately.
Yeah.
That just felt like, what was that doing in this episode? It's just like, insert 3 minutes. Sucks too, because Ross Marquand's a great actor,
yeah.
and
yeah.
I like really like him,
yeah.
yeah.
and I wish that I had more patience for him as a character. But Eric was so barely in the show that when he died, it just didn't matter.
Right,
and, like it just that relationship feels cheap to me. It sucks.
Yeah. I don't know. I've never really had a strong connection with Aaron with the show, regardless.
Yeah.
So it's he's kind of one of those characters to me that I think he's a great actor, but I think that I haven't had that moment of I could give her, he could leave, that'd be fine. You know,
yeah.
I'm not.
They could have done more. They
yeah,
really
no,
could have done
I'm
more
definitely on the same boat as you guys. I mean, and speaking from the LGBT community, I'm just like, I wanted them to go further with his character. And I've gotten a lot of shit for saying it. Like, I wasn't attached to Eric at all. And I
yeah.
wasn't really that upset when he, now that he is gone. I do feel like this new character plan that they have for Aaron is
yeah.
going to make me like him more, whatever
think,
it is.
Because you think you know what's going to happen.
Yes. And no, because once again, the show doesn't
right.
really stick to the comics, and it just, you know, goes off in what it does. But I feel like whatever it is, they're going to make us more emotionally invested in Aaron.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I thought it was weird kind of also with him going off with Enid, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But Enid also is another character that has to do something.
Yeah.
Like the last breakout moment that she had was with her backstory and the just survived somehow and her parents being
the
killed.
Glenn
and all this
stuff.
Yeah, oh, yeah, that too.
It was like last season.
Yeah, I mean, she needs something more.
I mean, that was the same, yeah, but...
Yeah.
So there was that, and then there was this Carl Sadiq storyline, was
yeah.
the other
I like that
yeah,
one. That
was,
that
the
was
other
great.
One.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got Carl kind of continuing to take more ownership and trying to assert himself as a little bit more of the plan.
Yes.
And so he makes friends with the Sadiq guy, you know, so he stays to save him now, you know, and then he asks the Rick questions.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny, like, they're doing a thing now where they're introducing other avenues of leadership.
Yes.
to kind of displace Rick. I wonder two things. One, does it mean that we're going to see the show go in a different direction where Rick is less of the main character? And two, does that mean that Rick's going to get killed and leave the show? Because he's the biggest star on the show in terms of, like, the name brand recognition.
Yeah.
I mean, that was made by the show.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably 43, 44, I'm guessing. Like, early 40s.
Yeah.
He's got a movie career ahead of him, I'm assuming. Like, he's a good actor. It seems like he's the kind of guy that could have a solid 10 years of movies in him right now. He could pull a John Hamm.
Yeah.
I don't think he wants to do this show forever.
Yeah, I don't think they're ready to see him leave yet, though. That would be... I don't know if I could see it yet.
I feel like they have to play a Doctor Who and, like, change out the main character at some point.
Yeah.
Because it's The Walking Dead, and I feel like... Like we've always said on this show, after they killed Glenn, that was, like, the highest stakes that they could pull.
Right.
The step up from that would be killing another major character. And why not Rick? Why does Rick get this special treatment? Why does Rick get this special treatment in the zombie apocalypse? I understand that he is the main character. I understand that he's the main character of the comics. But at the same time, we have other avenues that we can explore.
I think they could do it two ways. I think they could kill Rick. I also think that they could do the thing we talked about that we think might happen at the end of the season, and he could become a secondary character that goes to Atlanta to shoot from time to time, and he's not there all the time. And he could do other things with his career. I don't know. We'll see.
I mean, we obviously have Michonne who could leave. We have, you know, Maggie who could leave. We have Carol. We have Daryl. You know, I feel like I miss Daryl right now. I feel like even though they're showing, you know, we see him in bits and pieces now, but I feel like I haven't gotten a good Daryl storyline in a while. I'm kind of thirsty for it. You know,
I think Maggie would be the obvious choice there for leadership. The last thing I do want to talk about briefly here before we get to predictions is this whole like Rosita fighting storyline
it was my favorite scene tonight. That's where I'm gonna say I gotta give Rosita props because I did not see that blow up coming.
Bazooka.
You heard me yell during the middle of the show. I was so excited when that happened.
It was pretty good.
It was badass.
Yeah. It was amazing
because I didn't think she was gonna do it, and it was like he was like, "You're not gonna use that." Bam! You know,
you know,
like,
what's so funny is that I knew she was going to use it. Like, that's why I'm so attached to her, because I was like, she's going to do it.
R.I.P. Leo, because you went out, man.
Leo,
your body exploded, buddy.
Yeah.
See you later.
She just no hesitation.
No, not at all.
No.
I think the only criticism that I have for that moment is that she didn't use the bazooka on the truck and just killed, like, the ultimate point is
just
why they
shoot
were there.
The truck.
Yeah. And then took care of, what's his name? Because he wasn't really that close to her, you know what I mean? She could have easily shot the truck and then defended herself in whatever way she could have.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
For sure. They're like definitely doing... It's funny, like if you look at the way this day and a half has been set up, I talked about this like a couple episodes ago, the whole like video game similarity. Yeah. It does really feel like a video game. It feels like there's like this mission that's been laid out, and each episode is kind of like the checkpoints. Like, don't let the truck get from the outpost back to the sanctuary to warn the people.
Yeah.
Make sure you take it out. You know, it's like clear out this bunker, like get this weapon, collect this rocket launcher. It feels like it's a video game.
Right. That's true. But then if she had blown up the truck, wouldn't that have caused too much attention to...
Maybe,
to that area? That's what I was thinking. It might have caused too much.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking.
But you literally shot a person inside of a...
But that still was inside of that place.
Yes.
You know, and a lot of that probably was... You probably couldn't hear it. You wouldn't see it. So you would see that truck being blown up for miles.
Yeah, that's true.
And I feel like we don't like really need to justify that because it was a good moment.
It was a good moment.
It's the best. It was one of my favorites this season.
You know what show has also a lot of really, really great moments? Do you guys watch the show Vikings?
Yes.
History?
It's a great show. I haven't watched it.
Well... It's history's hit drama series, and it's about a family saga that tells the remarkable tales of the lives and epic adventures of the raiders and explorers of the Dark Ages. And its season 5 premieres on November 29th at 9 Eastern Standard Time, only on History. Their biggest question this season is who will rise, kind of like in The Walking Dead. Who will rise? It's going to be Rick. Is it going to be Negan? Is it going to be Jadis? Their biggest question on Vikings is who will rise. Season 5 begins with Ivar the Boneless asserting his leadership over the great heathen army while Lagertha reigns as queen of Khetgat. Ivar's murder of his brother Sigurd sets the stage for vicious battles to come as Ragnar's sons plot their next move. as avenging their father's death. This season is full of startling alliances and unbelievable betrayals as the Vikings fight to rule the world. Jonathan Rhys-Meyers joins the cast as Bishop Hemond. Hemond this season. And season 5 is 10 episodes, so I might just binge watch this.
I've seen the ads with Rhys-Meyers in the show. Yeah. He looks sweet. I love Rhys-Meyers, Mission Impossible 3. Yeah. Big fan.
The Tudors, he was awesome in that.
Great. Yeah. And the show's grotesquely violent. My friend Joelle, who does shows on AfterBuzz, she's a big fan of the show.
Okay.
She talks about, there's like one crazy violent scene last season that she always talks about. She's a big fan of the show, and I've heard actually very, very good things. Also, Ben Robson is on the show.
Nice.
Who used to be on Animal Kingdom.
Yes.
He's jacked, he's huge, he's a good actor, he's got a sweet accent. So watch that.
Yeah, guys, if you like gore and you you know, want some crazy characters, you know, tune in November 29th at 9, only on History.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. History. Speaking of shirtless characters, there was a quick shot.
That was a great segue.
There's a quick shot where Jadis draws an A on the thing, the container that Rick's in.
Yeah.
Oh.
After she thinks about things, she goes back.
And you see his eyeball in the other hole.
She goes back to her tool shop. And she heard the whole entire thing's a tool shop.
The whole thing's very true.
And Rick's inside this bunker, and two things I noticed. One, Rick has his shirt off. I was trying to figure out why his shirt was off in the bunker.
He was
in his underwear.
I thought he was completely naked.
Or I thought he was.
The scenes from next week, he looks like he had his boxers.
Yeah, boxers on.
Did they strip him down? Did Jadis order that, maybe?
I'm sure she did.
I bet she did. She wanted to take all of his weapons and everything he had, make sure he didn't have anything on.
Or to get a preview of the goods.
Or do both at the same time.
Or to dominate him, like we talked about, you know, stripping him of his masculinity.
Stripping him down. Yeah, there you go. And she drew an A on the container. Mm. Do you think it means ally? Do you think it means... What do you mean? What do you think it means? Anarchy?
Where did I see... I know that A was a really big symbolism in one of the seasons. Guys in the chat, let me know. But do you guys remember seeing all the A's and everybody was like, what does A mean? And we never got to the bottom of it.
Terminus? I don't know.
It was before Terminus.
I just put
Terminus.
It in the chat to see.
But I remember just seeing A's everywhere, and I feel like maybe Jadis and them were the people behind the A's.
The A people?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know what A means. I have no idea. I don't think it means ally, though, because if her vocabulary is as good as her grammar, then I doubt that she's going to put A on there.
For sure. Apoplectic, maybe?
Yes, exactly. That's exactly the word she was thinking of.
I think...
Vader Girl said Terminus A. A lot of people are saying Terminus in the chat.
There was a. Are you sure that
were
Terminus
they part of Terminus though?
No, because they were eating people at Terminus.
Yeah, they were eating people. That's true.
That was like one of my favorite seasons. Actually, I really like the Terminus season. So all right, I think that pretty much wraps up everything that we have. Cohen Beauty.
Cohen all right. Beauty.
It's a good Instagram. Cohen Beauty, if you like Laura Cohen,
exactly. Learned a new thing about
you
tonight, Ben.
I didn't create it, so let's get into predictions and
AfterBuzz TV predictions.
All right, we're going to do a quick prediction each, and then we're going to talk about the comic book for a quick second because we like to do a comic book spoiler for about a minute at the end of this. Predictions. I think that that Jadis is going to make Rick do something demeaning that he doesn't want to do to join her, and then he's going to do it because he takes care of his people and. And then he's going to have the salvagers on his side.
I'm going to go back to what I said earlier. I think that Maggie's going to use Gregory and that Gregory is going to die.
He's the mole.
And I think that we're also going to see between the next 2 weeks one of our major characters get killed as well. I'm not sure who yet.
You think Ezekiel? I was on the tip of your
tongue. It was Ezekiel.
Yeah.
Because we now are finding a stronger connection with him and Carol. But they also could play that out a little bit longer, too. The second half of the season. So.
That's you.
Well, that would be an obvious choice to me.
All the characters you dislike.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. I think there was some major foreshadowing with the Hilltop prisoners escaping. So I think that's going to go down. I feel like that's going to force Maggie into a position in leadership or to make a decision that she doesn't want to be in, which is to have to kill other people. I feel like Rick is going to have to fight for his life again. Remember how they did that in the, when they first encountered Jadis and her group?
When he has the zombie with the spike helmet?
Yeah. I think that she's going to make him do something crazy like that again to prove his worth, which I would love because I like when they did that. I thought that was super cool. I feel like the helicopter is going to make an appearance, or the people behind the helicopter at some point is going to make an appearance in the mid-season. I don't think anybody, our major character, is going to die in the mid-season, but I do think that this helicopter that happened last episode is going to make an appearance because I want to know what the hell that helicopter was about.
Okay, real talk.
Yes.
Daryl and I last week
didn't bring it up.
We didn't bring it up. We apologize. Well,
I think what happened, because somebody tweeted at me, I think we missed the final 5 minutes of last week's episode unknowingly, because there was apparently a scene of Gabriel in the prison, like really distraught. Sick. And also a helicopter, and we missed both of those.
And
two
I just
scenes.
Don't think that both of us would have missed it. I don't.
No, I think we just maybe you guys accidentally just didn't the watch last 5 minutes. Yeah. Okay. And as you guys know, last week the episode was not recorded here, which was the blunder that we had to watch it streaming online. We didn't have the ability to queue it up here to watch.
Yeah.
So what happened?
So Gabriel is apparently sick in the, because Eugene goes to visit him in the because Negan has him in prison.
Okay. Yeah.
And so he's like sweating and he's got like the fevers. I think when Negan and Gabriel were fighting through the walkers out of the trailer, that Gabriel must have been gotten bitten, which I'm not upset about. Sorry,
gotcha.
Guys. Sorry, I'm not sorry. And then obviously the helicopter flies over Rick and Rick is like, "What the hell?"
On his
walk. Yeah, we definitely did.
Yeah, on his walk to the
Got it.
Now I don't feel so stupid. Yeah. So you know, we did not get a chance to see that.
No problem, guys.
So that's gonna wrap us up. We are gonna do a quick spoiler section from the comic book. I do want to make sure we all sign off in case you guys don't want to do a spoiler. If you guys want to find me, you can find me at Ben Baby Media, Twitter, Instagram. Stay tuned for a second for a spoiler.
You can find me at Dario Christ on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook.
Guys, I'm Timothy Michael. Find me everywhere at I am Timothy Mike. I-A-M Timothy Mike.
This is your countdown, guys. 10 seconds. Get off the air. Turn off your phone. Your get rid of your YouTube.
Spoiler alert.
Pull off your headphones.
Yeah.
Yell loudly. Whatever you got to do. comic book spoilers. So yeah, what I was talking about as far as the flash forward stuff goes is like, I really do think that they might just kill Rick and Maggie might just take over the show.
With television shows, it's different because they can't just kill off the main character. You know what I mean? So I liked what you said, that your second option, which was just making Rick more of a secondary character.
He fades in the background, kind of.
Yeah, but then at the same time, I'm like, kill him. It would be awesome. Like, not awesome, but like, it would be awesome. It would be epic.
It'd be better to kill him in a moment, like in an important moment when he's a prominent character, than it would be to push him off to the side and then kill him two seasons later.
Yeah,
or something.
Because then we lose the emotional connection to him.
Yeah.
I'm also waiting for. I'm hoping that they explore, because reading the comic books, I realize how bad of an ass Eugene is, like how much better of a character he is in the comics. So I'm hoping they explore that between the next two episodes.
He gets way better in the later part of the comic.
Yeah. So I'm hoping, you know, they kind of explore that a little bit with his character, especially after whatever happens with Gabriel happens.
Agreed. I think that's pretty much what we need to chat about, right?
Give Me Shelter said the show will be canceled if Rick dies, only because he's still a major protagonist.
I don't know if it's true. The show's ratings are so far down, I don't know how much further they go down. I think the diehards are still going to stick with it, even if Rick does die. It's funny, somebody I know, I mentioned him this last week, he was like, it used to be the social currency was, when did you see Hamilton? Yeah. The current social currency is, when did you stop watch Walking Dead?
Yikes.
That's like what a lot, because like people don't watch the show anymore.
Yeah, it's every time I say it, they're like, "You're still watching it?" And I'm like, "Yep."
So we're the diehards.
We're the diehards.
Thank you.
Awesome. Ride or die, baby. We're the diehards, guys. We still love it. So as much as we talk smack about it, you know, we love it.
That's why we love it.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys, for listening, for watching. We'll see you guys all same time, same place next week.
Awesome. Peace. Bye, guys.
Bye, everybody.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
That's when you brought up Gabriel. I was like, why did...
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.